Hello, Robert. I think we're on, right?
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out, the most non-exciting TV on TV.
That's true.
I'm Robert Winters.
I'm Judy Nathans. The only time I wear lipstick, it's great.
I'll forego
that. You can pass on the
myself.
Lipstick.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so anyway, today's July 7th, 2020. Yes. We're sort of, still carrying on in the midst of Corona.
We're actually in the middle of a pandemic. We're not post or pre, are we?
No, but definitely there are some things to be said about that in terms
definitely.
Of just where we stand in terms of how Cambridge is doing, how Massachusetts is doing relative to the rest of the country. But I thought maybe what we should do is just make mention right up front about a very, very significant passing.
Yes.
Obituary in today's Boston Globe for former Mayor Barbara Ackerman.
Yes.
Of particular relevance for a TV show called Cambridge Inside Out, because Barbara Ackerman was one of the regulars when Glenn Kuchar did the show for quite a few years. Barbara was on there pretty much every week and one of the most solid people of all. Maybe I'll just try to take a quick look over here at the...
That's how I just found out about it. Yeah.
Over at today's Boston Globe, Brian Markhart, who writes really wonderful obituaries. So
it was just 2 hours ago. So it really was just posted. Yeah.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, I mean, Barbara Ackerman was first, she actually served 3 terms on the Cambridge School Committee. First elected in 1961, then 63 and 65. She served 5 terms on the city council, elected in 1967, 69, 71, 73, and 75. And she's actually one of the, there's a story about, kind of a cautionary tale for those who understand proportional representation elections, in that in 1977, she wanted more company on the city council of like-minded people. So she actually encouraged people to vote for Mary Ellen Prusser, who then not only won, but actually edged out and led to the defeat of Robert Ackerman. Wow. It's one of those unfortunate realities of proportional representation elections, is that you can, basically some of the people who are so much very similar to yourself can often end up being your greatest competitor. That certainly wasn't her intention, but that's how it happened.
Did they kind of come from the same area? Was that part of the problem?
I don't remember in terms of addresses. I do remember, I think Barbara lived on, I think Foster Street, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I don't remember. It's been a while.
Yeah.
She was a little, not in her best self for the last several years, was living out in Lenox.
You're talking about now, not then. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I think the last time I saw her, it was over by the Longfellow Park, walking her dog, So, So anyway, hail and farewell to Barbara Ackerman.
I'm glad you put that. Yeah, people can find that. It's,
yeah.
So, was she the only woman on the council for a while?
I think the first woman elected to the Cambridge City Council in the Plan E era was Pearl Wise.
Oh, right. But I mean, at her time, was there another woman serving?
I don't remember when she first joined the council.
Maybe not. That's why she encouraged this.
But certainly she was counselor simultaneously with Sondra Graham.
Right. That's right. That's true. Right.
Yeah,
you figured that out. Yeah.
I'd have to go look up, I think I know where to look.
That probably was the only two, because until really the last 5-10 years, there hasn't been more than one or two women.
I think there were 4 in 1993.
Really?
Elected. 93. Catherine Tranefilou, Kathy Bourne.
Oh, Kathy Kim Bourne, Russell, right. Oh, you're right. And, you're right. Okay. Maybe because they didn't, maybe they were like one term.
Yeah. So anyway,
that was something we hadn't planned to talk about, but I'm glad we caught it.
I think it's an incredibly significant thing for those. And by the way, one thing I should also mention.
Oh, right. Show the book.
I mean, it's mentioned in the other an author. Right. I mean, Barbara Ackerman was actually mayor for the 72-73.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wrote
and
this
is that
wonderful
still
book
available?
Afterwards.
It's probably in
yeah,
the library,
actually,
right?
Yeah, I picked it up on eBay, I think, or through Amazon. You can still, you can get
but
it.
I'm sure
nice
the Cambridge Public Library should have.
You can pick up it at the library, right? And it's full of great stories and
very
nice. Definitely would encourage people.
Okay.
To take that. So. So anyway, many things happening these days here in good old Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yes.
We are technically in the midst of the summer recess for our local Cambridge City Council.
Except they've been busy. There was a meeting today that I watched,
public safety.
And then I guess there's something going on now, isn't there?
I think there's an ordinance committee. Updated bicycle safety ordinance. You know, we are kind of in a, I don't mind saying I'm a little more on the, I'm more of an evolutionist than a revolutionary. Uh-huh. And so I'm always a little skeptical about some of the things that people are kind of pushing hard on. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I think they're getting across. You're talking about like bicycles and stuff?
I've always been a fan of the kind of quiet street, shared street way of doing, working the streets. I've never been the biggest fan of separated bicycle facilities, except in places where there's a clear need. You know, I actually prefer to share the streets for the most part, because I think we shouldn't have too many fast streets. We should have slower streets.
Well, it should say slow streets, because shared, like you can walk in the street, I think is crazy.
Yeah.
I think it works best for the cyclist, which is fine, but I'm not going to go be dodging cyclists on Magazine Street. I've been walking on that, and I walk on the sidewalk.
I don't know that you're really going to see too many of them, though.
The whole point is that you're sharing it with everybody. But really, in reality, it's made it easier, I think, for cyclists, I think, above all. And cars, all the barriers, it's crazy.
I'd say they're probably the chief beneficiaries.
Which is fine. You know, I still would like to see markings on the street, even if it's just an arrow. I would like to see that almost on every, or like share the road.
You know, some people will argue this point, but I think actually the whole system would work better.
Yeah.
If it was just like, you know, zebra striped or some sort of really loud and clear markings in the street.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. I don't know that I like all these sort of A-frame signs that are just sort of laid.
I think that's not going to last, because it's almost like going through a maze.
Nobody has officially said that these shared streets are going to be sort of the permanent.
Right.
They were instituted.
Especially in the winter. Yeah.
They were instituted very much, with the COVID-19 pandemic in mind. You know, I'm not 100% sure that I agree with the rational basis for it, because
I know there's plenty of space.
Crowding. Yeah.
I don't either, but we're in the minority, Robert. Sorry.
I know. Actually, I do have some images. What I'll do here is actually, I'm going to switch back here temporarily to
shared
Barbara.
Screen.
I'm going to.
You have to go to your
not to go
photos.
Here. I'm sort of having. I'm competing with the controls here, so I'm going to sort of try and do this appropriately here.
Oops.
Here we go.
Materials.
Here we go.
Go to
here we go.
Thank you.
Yeah. So.
Scrolling down now. All right.
Yeah, and by the way.
Oh, that's mine.
Right. So I think it's nice that we can put some photos up here. So the sort of wonderful Charles down by the Charles River.
Oh, and these beautiful hydrangeas. I just love
Where were these taken, by the way?
They're around. I don't know. Everyone's got them. Yeah.
But here, this is
magazine, or is this?
This is Magazine Street.
Yeah. You know? Right.
And when I go for walks, I'll often go down here and just sort of do a little kind of temperature check of how these shares are doing. You know, I have one on Harvard Street very close to where I am.
Right.
But I often will go walking down Magazine Street. And, this was when it was like in the opening days.
Just started, right. You have
started.
Right.
And you saw, you know, very prominent was the sort of the markers.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are still driving and not quite clear. I think more people are kind of figuring it out a bit now.
Well, they have that yellow sign, if you notice in the up there.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 miles is really, you know, I wish the whole speed limit around was 20, because 20, you're not going to kill anybody. And people have said that, even the cyclists. And you know, I always go 20 everywhere. I mean, there's no reason to go more than that on these streets.
I think it's kind of a Massachusetts tradition. Maybe it's an American tradition, which is that whatever the speed limit says, people are going to go somewhere.
Yeah, so right. I guess 10 is, 10 is, but, like a bicycle goes more than 10.
Yeah, my brother was a New York City cop, and he did traffic for quite a bit in both the Bronx. He did it in Queens and Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And it was a terminology that police officers would use if you were doing traffic duty, which was the phrase was, he works nine. You know what works nine means?
Yeah.
It means he's not going to stop you and give you grief unless you're going more than 9 miles per hour.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And somebody was considered a hard ass cop if he worked five.
Right. Because then they're really coming down too hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was first learning to drive, because I was kind of relatively late in the game, I always sort of said, well, if I'm going to push it, I'll never push it more than five. Of course, you know, time passes, we all push it a little
bit. But I only do that on the highway. I really never do that in the city. But anyway, so let's see some more.
By the way, so in the opening days, even the bus drivers hadn't yet figured out.
Is this Magazine
Street? Magazine Street. So,
but I thought they are changing this route.
They did, I think they didn't quite communicate it to the bus drivers yet. So sure enough, there was the 64 bus barreling down Magazine Street. I hope there weren't too many potential passengers waiting for it over a block over. But I haven't seen it barreling down Magazine.
No, I think they know now.
They've kind of figured it out now, right? Meanwhile, and again, because I think this is kind of a significant thing that's happening.
Is this Mass Ave?
No, this is over in Inman Square, and there's been a lot more changes since I took this.
Oh, I see the S&S. Okay, yeah.
I think I took this photo.
What is that? A raised platform for tables?
So this is very close to the middle of Inman Square. This is like
I see the S&S and then
over by the Druid, near Springfield Street. So Cafe, what they did was because the bus stop would be normally directly to the left. What they did is they wanted to maintain the level all the way out to where the bus now stops, which is what I guess the activists would call a floating bus stop, which is just basically, that's just secret code for bus stops in the middle of traffic.
Wait, I don't get it. The bus used to go in that lane?
Yeah, we'd just pull right up to the curb here.
Yeah, okay.
And there's actually a little bus shelter. But now, people wait in the bus shelter, they have to get out to the bus, which is now like two lanes of traffic.
Oh, so that's for the people walking for the bus. That's not for restaurants or anything.
Exactly. So they don't have to step down. So they'll actually walk right out to there. They did put in a little drainage here to make sure it doesn't pool.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
So that's what these areas are. But further down, a little bit into the distance, now that's all closed off.
Really?
And to serve the restaurants that are more or less from Prospect Street going up toward the center of Inman Square.
Oh boy.
Right. So, but I just took this photo when they were actually laying down the asphalt. I happened to be by there. So it looks very different now.
Couldn't you trip like walking off of that though?
Yes, you could, but the thing, I think they've probably put some more barriers in or something. But this just when they were just laying it down.
I see.
You
know, all right.
And things have changed since
then.
Now,
this looks like Mass Ave, no?
This is Mass Ave in Central Square. Right. I actually haven't seen the restaurants yet doing their business.
I haven't either, and I just walked there yesterday to the farmer's market.
But I think they're in a position where they could just do it now. I don't think there's anything stopping them.
Right. And, well, somebody's doing it. Who's this over? This is the Middle East, maybe? I don't know. It looks like it's Rendezvous? It's not Rendezvous. Excuse me. Viale? I don't know what it
is. Right. So this is looking down toward Brookline Street. Right?
Oh, wait, so that's Brookline at the light?
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, okay. So that's Brookline to
Pomeroy. So you're looking down toward Boston.
Okay. So that is, that might be the Middle East over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is being set up for that. And I haven't seen any action there yet, but it's kind of all rock and roll and ready to go. Yeah. Looking the other way here, back towards City Hall. These barriers, by the way, are actually filled with water.
Oh, so they can't be moved that easily?
Well, you know, right. So you can't really move them too easily. And but they're heavy enough, they're not going to get toppled over all that easily.
Right. That makes sense.
And they do provide some protection just in case some wayward driver just goes careening and you don't want them to.
All right. So, but what about the cyclists? Where do they go now?
Well, what they did, you can see actually in this one here where the bike the bike lane that was running down the center of this photo has now been simply repainted further right out.
Yeah, but they should get rid of those arrows. Still looks confusing.
Well, hopefully they'll be like
tables. They'll be covered by tables.
Yeah, yeah. And they may smudge them out. But again, we also don't know for how long this is going to be in place. So
yeah, come to be cold. No one's going to be sitting outside. I mean, it's reality, right? We live in Florida.
Hopefully we'll get some nice, sunny, clear days this summer.
Yeah, we've gotten so. Are you kidding? The weather has actually been amazing since all this happened, I have to say.
Well, we had a few really, really dismal days, lots and lots of big rains. And then
very little, though. Overall, it's been amazing.
Yeah. By the way, here's the same view looking down Magazine Street again.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's kind of a long shot. So what you're really seeing is just, you know, it's kind of scrunching together the blocks. Yeah. So, but what you really see is there's no people for the most part out there.
I wouldn't be in the street. Are you kidding me? No.
You'll see some cyclists.
There's no reason to be in the street.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is,
the sidewalks are fine. In fact, some sidewalks on that street are pretty wide. I just don't have a problem with, you know, you can go by somebody for 2 seconds. You're not going to catch it, especially if you're both wearing a mask and you're not talking. Come on.
I mean, I'm sort of enamored of the idea, though, because not so much because I think it was a necessity, but there were all these sort of other things that I've seen associated with it. For example, on Harvard Street.
Yeah. Do you have a picture of that?
I will, but what's happening there on Harvard is people are leaving things out like take or leave, kind of like it's like a free yard sale happening.
You know, I see that anyway, though. They put it in front of
the house. Well, I think it's stepping up a little bit because people are sort of sauntering and it's becoming more of a draw.
Well, because they don't feel like they can have a yard sale, so they're just putting stuff
Maybe. But there's just not that many people in there. You know, that's kind of the great fiction about this is that it was all motivated by this desperate need to
it was never really true. I know.
By the way, another
thing. Where is this, Robert? I saw this. Where is this?
Every once in a while, you walk around Cambridge, you know, which is supposed to be all gentrified and
it's getting there. Yeah,
the developers are taking over this, that, and the
other. They are. I see it all the time.
But every once in a while, you'll go down some dead end street and you'll find something you didn't know about. This is actually at the very, very bitter end, western end of Green Street. It's called Green Street.
Oh, wait a minute. Which part of Green Street? Which end?
After you cross Putnam and it just goes like a block down.
I think I know this house.
So a nice little fixer-upper for you. I looked it up in the real estate. It turns out Harvard University owns the properties.
No way.
On to the right of it, behind it, squeezing all the way out to Mount Auburn.
So why can't they own this?
Because it's owned by somebody else I wouldn't be surprised if they're just sort of holding out to sell it to Harvard.
Or I bet it's a family estate squabble or something. I bet.
More looks like a development company, but they just picked it up because they probably got it for a song. It's amazing what the real estate value of even a shack if it's falling down is.
Please.
Land value, even building value, $200,000. You say, you crazy?
That actually looks like a nice lot.
Yeah, it's a pretty good lot. Yeah. But again, this is on July 5th on a Sunday afternoon, right? We should see throngs and throngs of people because don't you know everybody needs to.
But they were the other day. I saw lots of people. But
you do see a lot of people, but there were plenty of times when in fact.
Oh, I know. I have not had a problem for months now going that way, the other way. Yeah.
You're looking the other way back toward the Weeks Footbridge again. Pretty empty.
We have lots of
room. I mean, it's kind of interesting because I think it's one of the last city council meeting, there was a proposal to open up the Fresh Pond Golf Course because of desperate need for people to find open space.
Well, also people don't like the golf. Where they're coming from. I mean, it's a sport. I can understand that. And don't they make some money from people playing there?
They do. I mean,
it being used though at off hours. I think that should be allowed. Abuse it though, probably.
Possibly so. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you actually look at the total acreage associated with it, it's not huge. It's sort of but anyway, I just wanted to point that out. Here's JFK Park.
Oh yeah.
Beautiful park over by the Kennedy School.
I'm surprised there's nobody sitting out there. I don't know what time you were there, but
there were a few people, but not that many people.
No, you know? I understand. Yeah,
I mean, this is really just meant to kind of point out how it's not like
we have a lot of open space. No, this is
Harvard Street by my house, which again, you're basically seeing largely vacant. I mean, this was never a busy street anyway.
Exactly. So maybe that's why they did it.
But yeah, it was. That's what Joe Barr said, the traffic director. It's like
the only one that I kind of disagree with is Magazine, because it really is a route to Trader Joe's and other places. And I don't know.
Depending on where you go in Concord Ave, is not necessarily the sole alternative to Garden Street, which has been turned into a short street.
Yes, I agree with that.
I mean, you can use Concord to be sure,
right?
But,
yes.
You know, but there are a lot of reasons why some people would also be coming down Garden Street. Honestly, I would almost inevitably be using Garden Street rather than Concord.
Yeah.
Because Concord is sort of unpleasantly narrow, and I always sort of enjoyed Garden Street as a
better place. If you were going to Trader Joe's from Mass Ave, you'd have to like go back and forth to get there, because if you go down Pearl Street, you'd have to cross. I guess you can cross Magazine Street. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, I think it's a worthwhile experiment. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens with if let's hope one day we're actually going to be, a little on the we'll be seeing hopefully COVID-19 in the rearview mirror.
That's my vaccine, baby. I don't know.
Right, I know.
I think we're going to be wearing masks for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing is, it'll be kind of interesting to see whether people hold on very much strongly to these shared streets, or whether some of them revert.
Well, what do you think of the idea?
By the way,
I just want to quickly
say here before we come back to us is that
the you have this
numbers,
update.
As of today, we have been seeing a relatively strong leveling off of coronavirus positive tests in Cambridge. I think that's an optimistic statement.
Well, they closed one of the centers, and now they have mobile sites, right?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. There's always been a prediction that maybe come fall that we would actually start to see some revival, sort of a second wave. I hope that's not
true. But a lot of people don't want to be tested, even if they don't have, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer not to be tested myself. Yeah. But the thing is, if people really do continue to sort of stick to the good discipline about it all, there's no reason why we necessarily have to have a second wave of this.
Right, except that you're going to have people coming in from a lot of other places. But I think if you yourself can keep yourself, do all the right things, I think it's...
Yeah. So I think, and honestly, Massachusetts is doing remarkably well compared to a lot of other states. There's a lot of misunderstanding when people look at the graphs and charts about what's happening around the country.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like I live and breathe statistics, but I can look at those graphs
you do, Robert.
Not statistics. All mathematics, right. Maybe, okay. But not statistics.
Okay.
So what you could see is, you know, we had our bump and sort of
April.
But the thing is a lot of the other states didn't actually experience their bumps. So they all started getting it. So when you look at some of these national histograms and things, you should... it's actually not a histogram, it's just a time series. But when you look at it, you should really view it as sort of multiple, you know, humps superimposed over one another. So what you're seeing in when it's all aggregated together, it makes it look like we're failing miserably. But what's really happening is that some places are doing okay, but other places are now
up and down.
They're going right into their full stride of sort of the horror period. You know,
but isn't that partly because they were further west and south?
Yes,
centers. I mean, it was sort of a natural progression in some ways.
Exactly. Yeah, so they're having their bad days now.
Although California's interesting because they were a coastal, you know, state. Well, and they were doing okay.
These are great cautionary tales for why you have to be very careful about how you reopen. And,
exactly.
And I actually think...
Right.
Reopening in guarded ways is exactly what we ought to be doing. I'm really looking forward to watch some baseball games, for example. But but the thing is that you don't just open it up and say everybody go hang out at the bar, and you also have to take into account human nature, which is that even if you put all the best advice out there, there are some people who are just going to be idiots, and you have to factor that in.
We really, I mean, we lived in a bubble before, but we really live in a bubble now, because if you go out of this area and you hear. And I had my car detailed the first time in 5 years at Iris Subaru. And people in the dealership were wearing masks, but not everywhere else. And you, by the way, you can't even cross the street in Danvers because there's no such thing as a pedestrian.
Yeah. You just, there's a lot of parts of the country.
People were complaining about that. I mean, so I think the further you get away from places where you just sort of do it because it's the right thing.
Yeah, it's true.
It's dangerous.
It's
true. Yeah.
We should probably mention a little bit, you know, the city council may be in summer recess right now, but the thing is, they're having committee meetings. Yeah. And rather than just waiting until their midsummer meeting, which is in July, they actually did schedule in one special meeting. But it's very specific.
To be on COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, some things are happening.
July 15th. I think
right.
It's 2:00. Yeah.
It's probably worth mentioning just a few things of note that happened at the
last meeting.
The last meeting.
Yeah.
You know, it was actually not that exciting, but you know, there was a couple of big things that may still come. I think there was kind of the leftover wind from previous meetings having to do with matters of race and some of the friction that's happening between some
city
councils. Yeah,
there's a little bit of a kumbaya stuff going on.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it though, even the lot of the conflict is sort of calming down a little bit, even nationally.
Yeah.
It's not stopping, and it shouldn't stop. But the thing is that it's not, you know, like I'm not waking up every morning going, well, which statue did they topple today?
I don't know. It keeps happening.
But they have shut down the Seattle, you know, what do they call that, Chaz, after it turned into a remake of Lord of the Flies.
Well, two people were killed.
There were multiple homicides.
And then there was something that happened on Route, and then they were blocking, not Route 5, whatever, Highway 5, something.
That's right.
And
so, somebody so it was people car, were blocking the interstate, and in fact...
somebody was killed there.
Somebody was killed there, you know. So the thing is that the idealism is all well and good, but the thing, there are some pretty practical things people have to consider. And I think it'll be interesting to see what the long-term after effect in a place like Seattle is in terms of whether people are okay with how the mayor handled it. I'm not sure they're going to be so okay with that. But you know, there was, you know, they had their day, you know, and now party's over. You kind of let's do constructive things now.
Well, there's work to be done.
There's work to be done, and you know, be productive and thoughtful. You know, I mean, I do have sort of general concerns about the atmosphere of where alternate opinions are just not to be heard. You know,
because it's chilling. I know, I see it even locally here on like some of the listservs. You know,
My goodness.
Oh yeah.
I'll just mention. You know. I don't want to put too many people on the spot here, but
yeah,
the Cambridgeport listserv.
I don't even know how to post on that, but I don't want to.
I don't want to call individuals out or anything like that, but you know, all it takes was one person or maybe two people mildly to basically have a nuanced, slightly different point of view on a particular matter.
Well, a little more
race.
Than nuanced, but I won't even go there.
Right, but the point is that, you know, as somebody did point out, you know, 40% of this country, crazy as it sounds, have voted for Trump. So,
and they're still kind of behind him, at least 37,
So you can't just sort of wish it away. And I think, you know, if you really believe in a kind of a pluralistic society, if you believe in free speech, the thing is that you sort of owe it to yourself to just let people say what they got to say. And if it's
you can ignore it or not get it. I get a daily digest. I don't get separate things. You'd be crazy to get separate emails.
But people in the Cambridge listserv are just, they're basically quietly trying to figure out ways to shut somebody out now too. And I thought,
I think from one of my reading of it, it's sort of the old board members versus the new.
You know,
I like what Saul Tannenbaum said. I think he said it the best.
But I think the main point here is simply that we are kind of in a time now where if you want to, you know, maybe there's reasons for it, but you know, if you want to express a point of view that is something other than the party line,
other than the progressive much, Green New Deal, all that.
You can pretty much count on getting a dog pile on you.
I mean,
it's true. It's happening in academic institutions as well, where alternate points of view are being squelched. And I think
That's been going on for a while.
It's been building up. Yeah. And I think it's just sort of reached, it's really reached sort of a crisis point right now for some, you know, I mean, pretty good people, you know, but they just happen to be kind of skeptical about things, and they want to offer a different way of looking at it. And they say, no, you can't even look at it in a different way. You got to preach the party line, you know? So, I mean, I've heard it kind of likened to kind of religious fundamentalism now, but it's, you know,
Way, I mean, you know, you have extremes, and I always have felt you need the extremes to define what is in the middle in a way. I mean, I guess, but let's find that middle.
Let's find that middle.
I think the middle's out there. I think sometimes I don't have a voice, but
In my view, and I've heard it said, and I've seen really, really well thought out articles written. Not lately, because we're in kind of a frenzy right now, but most people in this country are kind of the forgotten middle. And
what about Kansas? You know that book? Forget somebody, Frank wrote it.
Dorothy? About Frank Baum?
No, not that book. Anyway, it was really good because it was about exactly that. We're ignoring whole.
And I think you'll probably start to see that express itself even more in the days to come. Is it sort of the, my own personal intuitive feeling is that that sort of forgotten middle, even if they were people who were sort of predisposed toward Trump, are moving away from him pretty clearly right now.
Well, they better be registered to vote, and they better vote because
they tend to be.
I know, but I'm just concerned that. We're going to have a similar, if people had voted that loved Bernie and all that 4 years ago, we wouldn't have Trump. I'm going to put it out there,
I know where you're coming from on that.
So it's just, please, people say, I mean, I'm not good, wonderful about Biden, but at least he has a heart.
Yes.
He knows what, one of the best things I've seen about Biden was on Colbert had Jon Stewart on, and I have a clip of it all where he talks about, and he's a real Bernie person, or was Jon Stewart, but he said, because he knows grief and loss, that's what you need now. You need someone that understands.
That's the best way to develop empathy.
Exactly. Yeah. You have a man in office who...
Yeah, the best source of empathy is to learn it the hard way.
Right, and he's been through enough.
He has learned it the hard way.
Stephen Colbert, that he lost his father and two brothers in a car accident when he was like 9 or 10. So he understands loss. So it was an incredible, if nothing else.
No, I think
that's why you should vote for him.
Honestly, it's the one thing we need more than anything now is just empathy. Well, empathy and tolerance, and that means tolerance across the board, meaning. If you're a right winger, I want to hear you out. If you're if you're a left winger, I want to hear you out.
Right, but not to call names and not to put people down and be unkind.
I know
this person.
Use a little kindness.
He's mean and unkind and dark, and all these speeches he's given recently have been these just like his inauguration speech.
I know, but the thing is, it's sort of becoming a kind of a temporary bad American tradition. So
I'm afraid of what's. I mean, I
people on the right who are.
I know, but dreadful. There's people with guns
on the left being dreadful. I mean, honestly, the people who were in Chaz were, killing people. And, it's
Know if you can say that completely. I think there were some incidents, but I'm just saying.
Right. But I'm concerned about sort of the extremes. So, bring us all back. And I feel some confidence now, and I don't usually feel it this way politically. The American middle. Basically just wants things to be changed, and that includes the president. And that includes some Republicans, they said, listen, we may agree with some of the initiatives and whatever, but this is not the right guy, and we got to do something about it. And I just hope that kind of works itself out. Getting back to the local, just mentioned one of the items that actually brought a lot of people out in public comment at the, June 29th meeting. It was somewhat spurred by the COVID-19 crisis because of housing instability, insecurity.
Yeah.
It's become kind of a prime time to introduce things for tenant protection, but there is this bill that's been floating at the state legislature that would basically give it like enabling legislation for any city and town across Massachusetts to enact pretty much roll your own tenant protections up to and including rent control laws. And I don't know that that really has the legs to make it through the legislative process. Well,
where did it come out of committee or something?
Oh, he came out of a committee with a positive.
Yeah, and now where is it? Where is it now?
It's referred to, and I think it's one of those things where it could potentially be passed in the summer session by the end of July. But then it would have to go to the governor's signature, but I don't think it would get not the way it's written.
Yeah.
There's something a little too arbitrary about it. Basically, if you say, okay, every city and town, you can do whatever the hell you want, right? Up to, maybe to within the confines of what the Constitution says you can't do.
Yeah.
It could get real, it could become like the one and only issue in Cambridge again.
And I think affordable housing and all that will be more, or just the whole, you haven't mentioned your favorite topic, the affordable housing overlay. That's right. Tomorrow night they're having an ordinance.
Right. So they're, And I think that the six councilors, I don't think they really are interested in a whole lot of debate about it. I think their intention is pretty much to kind of whip it through.
Well, I think they have the votes this time.
I think they have the votes and they're going to do it. I think it's a mistake, but the thing is that
we disagree.
I think they're gonna just push it through.
Yeah.
Honestly, in terms of popular appeal, there's nothing like saying like we're gonna freeze your rent to sort of get popular appeal, much more so than let's allow the construction of certain subsidized housing units. Even during the rent control days, there was not a whole lot of push to build subsidized housing. There was always about rent control. So what you will see, if that were to prevail, you'll probably see a kind of a revision of the politics.
But you have brought this up. I mean, just cap a rent increase. I mean, that's logical thing.
I could sort of grab some state legislatures and had the time to really do it, I would say, look, if you want to do some control so that rents are not escalating out of control.
It shouldn't be 10%. It shouldn't even be, it should be living raise or whatever.
No, it should be allow a little bit beyond cost of living. But
really?
The thing is, the exorbitant, how do we throw everybody out of the house type of rent increases that are the real problem. There's going to be some rental revisions that are going to be happening as a result of the disruption caused by the virus, too.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Both commercial rents as well as residential.
Oh, yeah, rents are a little, a little lower. Because
if you wanted to buy a house in Villarica, let's say, it's a seller's market now because there's a lot of people wanting to.
Oh, they want space and open. That's true.
So that's kind of happening. I don't know what that really translates into in terms of urban, the desire to pack.
Well, I hope we don't go back to, the car is now king now because we have to commute and oil prices are so low. I mean, I don't want to, I have a car, but I'm careful and I don't drive a lot, but you wonder about that. People, it's a return to the suburbs. I'm working from home anyway. I don't have to, I don't know.
See a little bit of that. Actually, you and I both went to this conference on driverless vehicles.
That was a long time ago. I hope that never comes.
But if something like that, but if that were to happen, if you remember, everybody at that conference said if that happened, then there would be, the incentive to live close to the city would actually be diminished because
you
just call up your car, it would come and pick you up like
a taxi.
Except
that car still has to drive the streets and it has to go park somewhere at night.
Well, or else pick up the next person.
I don't want to see autonomous vehicles. I don't.
Anyway, I think that the planners need to sort of start thinking about this a little bit here. But I think also just in terms of people who are concerned about housing costs and whatever, people need to take a quick step back and think about how this is all going to shake out in the short term and as well as in the long
What's
term.
What's our time? We have
just a few minutes coming on here.
Yeah, we have a little extra time. I don't know if folks are going to realize it because... We went on about 10 minutes earlier. We may have a 45-minute show tonight.
We have the bonus this week here. By the way, the universities now, and I'm sure the public schools as well, are having the time is, it may be early July, but the thing is that it's no time like the present to sort of, solidify your plans for.
Well, Harvard apparently has, and some people don't like it or something.
That's right. So the thing is, they're doing things where they're going to invite just the freshmen's. And they're going to sort of scatter them around so that there's minimal social distancing. By the way, in terms of, I think it's a real concern about you bringing people in from all around the country.
Absolutely.
Then you could actually introduce, virus threats again.
Yeah, but they're going to have testing.
Oh, they're going to be testing every 3 days or something. So
and a way to quarantine. Yeah,
but that's a situation where you really are going to need to do things like that to be sure. We're kind of in this nice, comfortable, steady state right now, but that ain't going to last. So
that's more for our universities. But I think our local schools, hopefully.
And I don't know exactly what the current thinking is.
We'll find out.
A lot of parents need, school is actually a de facto daycare option for a lot of parents.
Yeah, but teachers, if they live in communities where the schools are not operating, but they have to teach in a school that is, I mean, it's a nightmare for, I think, the adults. Not so much of the illness itself, but just the logistics.
Oh, I think there's a lot of pressure coming from a lot of the adults who basically kind of need to have the kids go to school. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of sort that out and find some sort of reasonable happy medium, if there is a happy medium.
Right.
Last thing, maybe just quick thing to mention here before we call it a day. There was one other thing I found interesting. I don't know how many other people found it interesting at the last city council meeting, which was Councillor Toomey put in an order basically raising issues and seeking information about, the short and long-term future of retail in Cambridge. Basically, there are retail areas where the landlords will basically say, this ain't working for me. The businesses can't operate. They can't do this. So I either have to dramatically cut rents or convert retail frontages and turn them into residential properties. Yeah. That's actually happened on my block. There are things that are becoming residential now. So,
interesting.
So those are the sorts of things that people are going to have to start thinking about.
There's places that are closing and
people, property owners are going to have to make some hard decisions. And
a lot of changes, Robert.
Yeah, people are going to have to really give some thought about all of this stuff here. So,
all right.
So anyway, but the Red Sox will be playing at the end of the month, and I hope everybody's well. I think there are four who have tested positive.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I really, really could just use a little bit of baseball, quite honestly.
Okay, that's good. All right.
All right, so we should probably
we'll
call it a day.
We'll see you in 2 weeks, I guess, right?
Unless we come up with something else.
Yeah, we keep saying that. But anyway,
we'll see you all again soon on Cambridge Inside.
Stay healthy. Bye.